I've been really lucky over the years to be playing with so many fantastic world-class musicians. There are three different piano players on this album. Guillaume has now gone off doing wonderful things of his own, but it gave me the opportunity actually to go back and ask Jason Rebello, who I've known for well over 20 years and whom I've not recorded with and worked with for many, many years, but he went off with Sting and Jeff Beck and many others, and of course I went off with Chick Corea and several others, and so we've finally been able to meet. And it's great, an old friend like that, making music with him again. So I wanted to give him some really good slots. Likewise, Jeffrey Keyser, who kind of beamed in his solo from California on Uplift, which is the opening track. And John Turville, another London-based piano player who I haven't known for quite so long, but wonderful young guy. And sensitive as well with my music. I'd love to try and get as many different emotions and as many different textures in there as possible. So it has the full sort of gamut of musical experience. So I was totally happy to get all three of those. Fantastic. Maybe next time I'll get them all to play simultaneously. Who knows? Asaf, of course, a great friend, and we've travelled so much together now, playing both the conventional drum kit, but also his specially made and bespoke for Lighthouse, really, this percussion kit that he has, which has very small light cymbals, and also, rather than conventional drums, sort of frame drums, which are much quieter, but have really interesting kind of textural sounds, and gives it a slightly kind of world music feel. Also, Ant Law on guitar, both steel string and electric. Again, sort of new to me in a way. And wow, this guy, the way he's able to handle a lot of the harmonies I'm throwing at him, fantastic. Kevin Glasgow, also, who's just playing on some of this. A lot of the time, Lighthouse historically hasn't had bass. This guy is so good. I really wanted to include him on this album and get him also to solo on one track. We do, of course, have the great John Patitucci on here as well. And on the reprise, the very last piece on Songs of the North Sky, I get him to finally play some electric. The rest of the time he's playing very beautiful and lyrical double bass. There's one of the little cadenzas he does, which is actually four double basses, all with a bow, creating this amazing effect. And it's so in tune also with the pieces that surround it. He's really done a fantastic job. One thing that didn't change for me writing Songs for the North Sky was the objective of having songs, you know, the main theme, which is essentially very melodic, followed by a separate movement, which is this variation movement. So it's closer to the classical model, if you like. And I'm totally aware that sometimes when people listen to jazz and the improvisation really takes it out at tangents and you can't hear where the melody or the theme is anymore, it kind of just seems to have gone out into the cosmos. And I'm thinking, well, take the classical model of theme and variations, and if you have a separate variation movement where the material is deliberately kind of its polar opposite, is really turned on its head, then that's going to be the expectation of the audience, and so there's no confusion anymore. People will just go along and with you and hopefully, you know, enjoy the ride that you've been able to transform this music. And it's a kind of a reflection, as I say, of the weather itself. One thing that did change as I was kind of reaching the end and I could see you know, the overall view of what this thing was. And this also came from doing it live a couple of times. I wanted to have more freely improvised sections which linked some of these pieces together. It gave people a chance to get off the page a bit and the improvisers just to really, you know, create a little cadenza. And I thought, well, rather than just have the guys who had done it before have another stringed instrument. And so I asked the great John Patitucci if he would grace us with his bass presence and do some improvised linking things, which he did brilliantly, because you can hear how one theme that he's picking up on kind of morphs in readiness for the next theme, you know, and he's done that very naturally. And I think that brings back this sense that, yep, this is a jazz album, yep, this is something which is about something which is alive in the moment, and it's not all pinned down. And the future of Lighthouse as a band, well, when I first moved into the area and formed the band, we had this picture in the house, amazing shot, looks as if it's been sort of taken from a helicopter, of a lighthouse in an amazing storm. But you can actually see that the door is open and there's this one guy looking out and looking up, you know, completely surrounded by these like unreal waves. And it was inspiring because it was like, you know, how can someone survive in such a situation? And the elements are just awe-inspiring. And that was great. I had it on the wall for some time. But increasingly, it came to mean for me a kind of an isolation. And in the end, I took the picture down. And there was another picture which I found a little bit later, which was smaller and more colourful. And it had this image of a lighthouse where everything around it was being lit up by that light, and I started to think, yeah, this is a kind of a good representation of where I want the band to be now. You know, none of us know how long we have left, and I've been so grateful to be a musician all this time. It makes total sense to me to keep building on the 10 years which I've had developing this music, but ever increasingly to have the agenda of keeping the music truly approachable, still exploratory and, you know, kind of challenging in ways, but always with this feeling of light, this feeling that we are there to make the world a better place. Now, that sounds cliche, doesn't it? But it's true.